To the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel. Last week we began to look at the particulars of their sin or the specifics of Jerusalem's sin. The first one that we looked at being they worshiped all the idols that passed by. In other words, passerbys came by, and whatever idol they worshiped, they took it unto themselves to worship, and they gave of their fornications, they gave of their idolatry unto the passerbyers. As well, they shared it mutually among them. And then we looked at the fact that they took their fine, rich clothing, that of many colors, the embroidered work, and they used everything that God had given them in that fine, rich clothing. They used to decorate their idols and their altars that they used to worship the idols with. Tonight we want to look at the fact that they gave their beautiful jewels, their jewels of silver and gold, that God says was my silver, my gold, which he gave unto them. Let's begin reading again tonight with verse 15, and we'll read down through verse 17. Verse 17 is the one we'll be dealing with tonight. But thou didst trust in thine own beauty, and placed the harlot because of thy renown, and pouredst out thy fornications on everyone that passed by. His it was. And of thy garments thou didst take, and decked thyself, thy high places, with divers colors, and placed the harlot thereupon. The like things shall not come, neither shall it be so. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels, thy jewels of beauty, of my gold and of my silver, which I had given thee, and madest to thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredom with them. So tonight we'll be looking at the thought of them using their jewels of beauty, of God said, my silver, and of my gold, which I gave unto thee. The jewels of gold and silver. It just seems to be something that catches a lot of people's eyes. Now, there's some people that the bling doesn't catch their eye, and they can do with very little bling at all, you know. But most people, silver or gold and diamonds, that catches people's eyes. And it is ornaments of beauty. And so God had given them this silver and their gold, and it was to be used, these jewels that he calls them, and they were known, and were to be used in his worship. That was why he gave them to them. They were to be used for for them to worship Him, the true God, the one and only God. But they gave to make their images. And our text says they're images of men. Whether it was an image of a man or whether it was images graven by man, carved out by man, molten by man. They were used of them. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah in chapter 46. And we want to read a couple of verses here from this 46th chapter. Verse 5 and 6, we read, "To whom will ye liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like?" Who will you liken me? Your God. The God that did so much for you. The God that rescued you. The God that delivered you. The God that saved you. The Almighty God. The Creator God. The Sovereign God. To whom will you liken Him? They lavished gold, or they poured out gold out of the bag, and weighed silver in the balance, and hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They fall, that gold and silver, that's just what they did with it. They took and they hired one to a goldsmith to make molten images. And then they fall down and they worship it rather than the God who gave them the gold and silver, the God who made the gold and the silver and gave it to them. Turn with me to the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea in chapter 8. And well, let's begin with verse 1. "Set the trumpet to thy mouth. Come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, My God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not," or he did not know those princes, which they made princes. "Of the silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off," that they might perish, that they might be cut out of the land, that they might receive the judgment of God. That's what happens when we leave God and we go off and we worship other gods. They're more important. They're more important than God. They're more important than our Creator. They're more important than Sovereign God. They're more important than the God of our salvation. That's what we're saying when we leave off our God to worship other gods. That's what Israel was saying when they left off the worship of Jehovah and went a whoring after other gods. Turn with me to the 13th chapter of Hosea. In verses 1 and 2. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. And now they sin more and more and have made them molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding, all of it the work of the craftsmen, they say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. In other words, they were kissing those molten calves, the calf that they were worshiping. They were in love with them. They were in love with them more than Jehovah God, more than the God of their salvation, the God who rescued them in their deplorable and despicable condition, the one who cleaned them up, cared for them, dressed them, clothed them in fine, rich clothing, gave to them beautiful gifts, made them a beauty, made them a renown among the nations. But they loved their golden calves, molten calves, more than they did Jehovah. Turn with me to the book of Habakkuk. In chapter 2, and verse 18, what profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image and a teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols? What does each of those profit? What does the dumb idol profit? What does the false prophet of those dumb idols, what does he profit? What profit is there to you? What profit is there to me? What profit is there to me to fill my life fulfilling my desires and pleasures, putting them above God, putting them against the worship and service of God? What profit is there to you of worshiping yourself, of worshiping the things which God has blessed you and enabled you to get and to have? He's given you the strength and the wherewithal. He's given you the skill to work and to perform and to get money. What do those things profit you? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What does it profit? We're commanded in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, to lay up treasures in heaven, not treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth enter in and corrupt. But those treasures that we lay up in heaven, we by doing the will of God and the purpose of God for our lives, are those treasures that we lay up in heaven, and moth and rust does not break through. Thieves do not break through and steal as they do here on earth. Note this great truth and this great fact that is pronounced in this verse. He said in verse 17, he said, "My silver, my gold, which I gave you, which I gave unto you." So it's noteworthy for us to note that it is God that gives us our riches. It is God that gives us the ability, and He gives us the riches. He gives us the skill. He gives us the employment to get and to get gain. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles in chapter 29. And look with me at verse 12 here. "Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." In other words, He gives us the strength. He gives us the ability to go out and to work and to get gain under ourselves. He's the one that deserves to be worshipped. Not we. Ourselves. Not the things which He gives to us by giving us the strength, by giving us the ability, by giving us the employment. He gives us those things. We ought not to be worshipping them, but worshipping Him. Turn with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua in chapter 6. Here the children of Israel are getting ready to go to battle. Go to battle against Jericho. And He gives instructions to the children of Israel. There too, well, let's go up a few verses here and verse 17 says, "And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab and the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing." The whole city was accursed, with the exception of, we're going to read it in a minute. "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold, vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the whole city of Jericho was to be accursed except for the silver, the gold, and the vessels of brass. And that they were to take, and they were to take into the treasury of the Lord. It was consecrated. It was set apart. Set apart unto the Lord. And you continue to read the account, and they went into Jericho. The walls fell down. They went into Jericho, and they utterly destroyed the city. They burned it to ashes, and saved out the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass unto the treasury of the Lord, and took it to the treasury of the Lord. And of course, we know Achan and his sin. He saw that Babylonish garment and wedge of silver, and he took it to himself, and he became accursed. He and his family was accursed, even though his family, it seems as though they knew nothing about it. But he, acting as head of the family, brought a curse upon the whole family. Turn with me to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, in chapter 8, and here we're going to find David. And David, of course, was a great warrior, a man of war. And up in verse 9, when Toi, king of Hamath, heard that David had smitten all the host of Hadarezer, then Toi sent Joram, his son, unto David to salute him and to bless him because he had fought against Hadarezer and smitten him. For Hadarezer had wars with Toi, and Joram brought with him vessels of silver and vessels of gold and vessels of brass, which also King David did dedicate unto the Lord with the silver and gold that he had dedicated of all nations which he subdued. So this was a practice of David, not just here with the slaughter of Hadarezer, but this was a practice of David. All the silver and the gold, the example set back there in the silver, the gold, and the vessels of brass were to be brought into the treasury of the Lord. They were the only thing that was sanctified, set apart. And David continued many, many years after Joshua is continuing that practice in the land of Israel to dedicate the from war, the silver, the gold, and the vessels of brass unto the treasury of the Lord. Now, in comparison, let's go back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel in chapter 2. And this is Hannah's prayer. After the Lord had answered her prayer, David, give her a man child, and she's praying this prayer of thanks unto the Lord. In verse 7, we read this: the Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. The Lord The Lord is great. The Lord is wonderful. The Lord raiseth up the poor, setteth them upon a rock, so to speak. The blessed rock. And gives him food to eat and drink to drink. Praise God. Our praise is to be unto God. Our praise is to be unto the Lord God Jehovah, the God of our salvation, our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is to receive honor and glory and praise. Turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. And let's read this statement from the pen of the wise one. The book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 5. And look with me at verse 19. Every man also to whom God hath given riches. Where do riches come from? Come from God. To every man whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power. Where do you get the power? Where do you get the strength to eat of the fruit of your hands? He giveth him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. You see, it's all a gift given to us of God. Oh, that men would realize that. But sometimes we're so foolish. Sometimes we're so hard-headed. Sometimes we're so stiff-necked and rebellious. And we rebel against our God. The produce of business, the skills of art, our employment are the gifts of God. They're the gifts of God's providence to us. And along with that, he gives us the fruits of the earth. Think of how the fruits of the earth are given. We'll be looking at that thought in a little bit. Notice, now let's get back to our text here in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16 and verse 17. Notice what he says about the silver and the gold. We've already stressed it, but let your eyes sink upon it. Think upon it. He said, jewels of my gold and of my silver, which I had given. And we already dealt with the principle that he gives us the gold and the silver. He gives us the money. He gives us the strength. He gives us the power to get. The power to eat thereof the fruit of our hands. But he said, it was my gold. It was my silver. And furthermore, there's more in this statement of what he says. It's still his gold. It's still his silver. And he still can do with it as he pleases. He can take it away as well. And I wouldn't be the first man to learn that. And neither would you be the first man to learn that. That he giveth and he taketh away as it pleases him. It is his gold. It is his silver. And the fruits of the earth are his as well. So it is still his. He gave it to them. He gives it to us for us to honor him. He gave it to Israel. He gave it to Jerusalem for them to worship him, for them to honor him, to show his great love to them. And yet they turned from him. And he blesses us, honors us to honor him. Do we praise him as we ought? Praise him as we should? For his great blessings that he gives to us? It's his. And we are accountable to him. Even after he's given it to us, it's still his. And we're accountable to him as to the disposal of it. He's given it to us to honor and glorify him. How do we do with that? Do we use it to honor and glorify him? Or do we use it to live extravagantly with? Turn with me to the book of Leviticus. I just want to leave us with some food for thought tonight as we bring this to close. The book of Leviticus in chapter 19, and look with me at verse 9. He said in verse 9, he said, "And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest." In other words, they were to leave that there. The corners, you know how the corner there? Being from a farming community, tractors make around them, there'd be a little place it's kind of hard for them to get right there in the corner. And if they do, why, they knock a lot of it over and on the ground. Well, that was to be left. They weren't to glean it, and they weren't to glean any of the harvest. "And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God." I'm the Lord your God, which gave it to you, and I'm going to give this that I'm commanding you to leave. I'm going to give this to the poor and to the strangers that dwell in your land. It was God's provision to take care of the poor. He allowed them to be poor, but he's still taking care of them in their poor estate. Now, holding that thought in your mind, turn with me to the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. And we have here an admonishment against stealing. "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, and God will bless him in it." In laboring and working with his hands, God will bless him in it, "that he may have to give to him that needeth." In other words, you're going to take care of your own family by laboring with your hands and provided for, but God wants you also to give to the poor. It's the way He takes care of the poor. He has made them poor. He's made you to have and to be blessed. And He's made you to be blessed so that you can give to the poor. Think of the scripture in the book of Luke. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And oh, it took me 60 years, some years, to learn that. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And it is blessed. I thank the Lord that we're able to give. He takes care of our needs and we're able to give. And He does the same for Grace Baptist Church. Do you realize that? Do you realize the grace of God upon Grace Baptist Church? How gracious He is. He takes care of us. He gives us that which we need, and He enables us to give to missions for a little flock. We give a lot to missions. That's all at the hand of God. And we ought to thank Him and praise Him for it. And it's a blessed privilege to be able to do that. One passage of Scripture in closing. Back to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus, in the 25th chapter. And to show you that it is God that is taking care of us all. That's what this principle teaches. Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 6. And the Sabbath of the land. Okay. It's the Sabbath of the land. Every seventh year was the Sabbath of the land. That is the rest of the land. The land was to lie at rest. Shall be meat for you. Are you asking the question yet? Well, if the land was to be at rest, how is it going to be meat, food, for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee? And for thy cattle, and for the beasts that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. How's that going to be? The land is laying at rest. They weren't allowed to go out and till it. They weren't allowed to sow seed in it. It was just to lay at rest and just grow up. You know what grew up? Seed from the previous year's crops that still lay in the soil would grow up and grow up wild and not tilled. And they were to live off of that, that year of rest, that year of Sabbath. And it was to take care of themselves, it was to take care of their servants, it was to take care of their maids, it was to take care of their hired servants, it was to take care of any strangers that were dwelling within their midst. See how God blesses, see how God provides and takes care for His own. So it is God that gave to Israel, to Jerusalem, the silver and the gold, the jewels of silver and of gold, His silver, His gold. And it was still His silver and His gold. And they took it. And they took it to the goldsmith and had them make molten images for them to bow down, those images of silver, those images of gold, and those images of brass, and to worship them rather than worshiping the Lord God above. He gave them rich blessings to bestow. Well, we'll close there tonight.